In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, please be seated. Now, today is a very special day. It is a day when we expect to see a big presentation, the end of a season. We expect to see a victory, and a day people will celebrate and talk about for many years. Of course, I'm talking about the Feast of the Presentation. Is there something else going on today? Well, we might. Today is actually a major feast day of the church, one that we don't get very often on a Sunday, only about every 7 years. It just happens to be that it gets overshadowed by the Super Bowl or Groundhog Day. But this day is so important that we actually have switched out the green for white. We switched out the Sunday propers for the readings for Candlemas, also known as the other day that it's known as. And this day is a big day in the life of this church. Now, the origins of today, like many holidays and feast days and festivals in the church, the origins tend to be a bit complicated. It happens to be that today is the midpoint between the winter solstice and the spring equinox. It also happens to be that it is exactly 40 days after Christmas. And so the Christian origins, we can assume that some of the origins of celebrating today may have had some pre-Christian origins, but the Christian origins are also based in Scripture, where 40 days after a woman gave birth, it was required by the law of Moses that she would go and be cleansed in the temple, offer sacrifice. It also was custom that the firstborn child, who was male, would be brought to the temple to be presented as somebody set aside for God's work. And so we have this day of Candlemas, or the presentation. And Christian traditions around the world celebrate this day very differently. In the Western church, this day has a lot to do with light. Probably, as you can imagine, having to do with its placement between the solstice and the equinox. But it's also a day when it has been tradition to bless candles. And in fact, in the Church of England, this would be the end of the season of Epiphany. Now, while Super Bowl happens to be a coincidence today, because everything has to convalesce on one day, our American tradition of Groundhog Day is tied in with Candlemas as well. There's an English poem that goes, "If Candlemas be fair and bright, winter has another flight. If Candlemas brings clouds and rain, winter will not come again." That sounds sort of familiar, right? Kind of makes me wonder if Peyton Manning walks in the temple and Jesus sees his shadow, will we have 4 more weeks of Epiphany? Well, today we are not talking about Punxsutawney Phil or football or even Omaha. But what we are talking about today is light, and that is the light of the world that is manifested. The light of the world manifested in the story that we heard in the gospel. In the story, Joseph takes Mary and the baby Jesus into the temple for the required rituals. And this should be a fairly normal event. This should be something that is, you would expect things to happen that are pretty normal. It's as if it should go on day to day, but something amazing happens. There's an old man in the temple, and he scoops the baby Jesus out of the arms of his parents. You can imagine how shocked they would be to have this happen. But then the man praises God, and he says, "My eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for the revelation to the Gentiles and for the glory of your people, Israel." This text might be familiar to those who have done the service of Compline or even evening prayer, often called the Nunc Dimittis or the Song of Simeon. After this, this man begins to tell Mary about this child's destiny and about her destiny. And just when this amazing event was over, just when they thought they could go about their business, an old woman comes up, and she begins to praise God, and she begins to tell others about how amazing this child is. And the thing that really strikes me about this story, the thing that really amazes me about these two people who encountered Jesus, is that they were so focused on one thing. They were focused on waiting to see Christ. Simeon, who is this old man that we encounter, he spent his entire life waiting to see Christ. He was told he would not die until he saw the Messiah. And so he waited until that moment when God dismissed him in peace. Anna, the widow in the story, after the death of her husband, she spent her entire life in the temple. She was only with her husband 7 years. She was probably not even out of her 20s. So she had spent the last 60-some-odd years in the temple praying and fasting and waiting for Christ. These people lived. They lived their entire lives just to get one little glimpse of the Lord. Their entire purpose, how they're remembered 20 centuries later, was that they wanted to see Christ and nothing else. And when that moment finally came, the moment that they had been waiting for, they were able to recognize Christ and they rejoiced. And we have a lot of things going on in our lives. We have a lot of distractions. We have a lot of things that take our attention. Even on a busy day today, like today, we have various kinds of festivities. And even in other days, we have all these things going on. And when they are going on, are we able to see Christ? Are our eyes open enough to see Christ if Christ were standing right in front of us? Should be noted that the temple in Jerusalem was a busy place. It wasn't just these five people hanging out in the temple. There were hundreds of people. This was the center of a religion. It was a center of a worldwide religion where people came from all over the world to do purification rituals. Think of all the babies born on the same day of Jesus, all these women doing the purification on that same day. Think of how many of those babies were firstborn sons coming to be presented at the temple. Think of those people who had heavy sins that were coming to do atonement. Think of the people who just came to the temple to pray. There must have been hundreds of them milling about the temple. And while it is astonishing that these two people, Anna and Simeon, were able to pick Jesus out of a crowd, the rest of those people did not flock to Jesus. They weren't bombarded by the crowds. But everybody probably went on their normal lives. They might have even noticed two small spectacles going on as these two elderly people had a moment with this child, but then they went on going about their lives. They did not see Christ, even when Christ was in front of them. And the thing about our lives is that Christ can be found in virtually every corner of our existence. Christ can be found in the quiet calm of a peaceful moment. Christ can be found in the joy of singing a hymn. And Christ can even be found in the face of those people that we like the least. There is not one place that Christ cannot be found if we are aware of it. But at the same time, we have these distractions pulling our lives in one direction or another, keeping us from seeing what is right in front of us. We have school, we have jobs, we have activities, we have social events. And we can even let our church life distract us from Christ, as ironic as it might seem. If you think back to the temple, every one of those hundreds of people visiting the temple that day, every one of those people were going about holy business. Each person that went to the temple that day wanted an experience with God. So why could they not see? Why could they not see God when God was right in front of them in God's holy place? And if we are not careful, even the things that are supposed to bring us to God, if not done with an open heart, can distract us from God. On the other hand, if our eyes and our hearts and our minds and ears are open, we can even see God in those things that do distract us. We can see the face of Christ on our classmates and on our coworkers. We can serve God in those things that keep us busy. We can hear the voice of God in our friends, even those cheering for the wrong team. But when we are looking for God, we can see that God is everywhere. But we have to be open to God. We cannot think that it will happen if our eyes are shut. But when we open our eyes, when we open our hearts, we open our minds and our ears, and when we see the light of the world in the glorious or in the mundane, then let us, like Anna and like Simeon, praise God and rejoice in finding our Savior. Amen.